Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. This is God's word. He began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug out a pit for a wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenant farmers and went away. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the farmers to collect some of the fruit from the vineyard from them. They took him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant to them, and they hit him on the head and treated him shamefully. Then he sent another, and they killed that one. He also sent many others. Some they beat, others they killed. He still had one to send, a beloved son. Finally, he sent him to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But those tenant farmers said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they seized him, killed him, and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill the farmers and give the vineyard to others. Haven't you read this scripture? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came about from the Lord and is wonderful in our eyes. They were looking for a way to arrest him, but feared the crowd because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. So they left him and went away. Then they sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to Jesus to trap him in his words. When they came, they said to him, "Teacher, we know you are truthful and don't care what anyone thinks, nor do you show partiality, but teach the way of God truthfully. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we?" But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you testing me? Bring me a denarius to look at." They brought a coin. "Whose image and inscription is this?" he asked them. "Caesar's," they replied. Jesus told them, "Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him. Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and questioned him, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife behind but no child, that man should take the wife and raise up offspring for his brother." There were seven brothers. The first married a woman and, dying, left no offspring. The second also took her and he died, leaving no offspring. And the third likewise. None of the seven left offspring. Last of all, the woman died too. In the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be since the seven had married her? Jesus spoke to them, "Isn't this the reason why you're mistaken? You don't know the scriptures or the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, haven't you read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the burning bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. One of the scribes approached. When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which command is the most important of all?" Jesus answered, "The most important is, listen, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to question him any longer. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. The title of today's message is, "Why Do You Ask?" That's an important question about people's questions, because there are a lot of times when people ask questions not in order to gain information, but in order to bring something out into the light. God himself does this. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when our first parents were trying to hide their nakedness with leaves, and they were crouching down in the shrubbery, hoping that the all-seeing God who created everything and knows everything would not be able to find them. God asked a question. "Where are you, Adam?" Now, is this because God didn't know? No. God knows everything. God knows how many hairs are on top of your head. God knows the motivations and intent of your heart. God knows before you're about to say something what you're about to say. "Before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all together." God knows the end from the beginning. There are no ways in which we can hide from God. If I ascend to the mountaintop, he's there. If I go down in the depths of the sea, he's there. God is everywhere. God knows everything. And so when God asks questions, he's not looking to get information from us. God already knows. Don't ever think that you're going to hide something from God. He's not, "Boy, I hope God doesn't find out." I remember as a kid hoping my parents didn't find out. But I knew God already knew, and so I'd pray to him, "Please don't let my parents find out." Because I knew God knew. You can't hide it from him. And so when we confess our sins, we're not letting God in on a secret. We don't tell God what we've done, and he says, "What? When did that occur? Where was I?" God knows. And so sometimes God asks a question, not because he needs information, but because we need information. We need to get things out there. We need to realize what's going on. And sometimes questions bring things to light. But the reason that in this chapter, the various opponents of Jesus were asking him questions was in order to trap him. Now, this came in response to something Jesus had said. And this chapter, all as we've said before, all the chapter divisions were added much later. They're not part of the original document. So when the chapter starts out, he began to speak to them in parables, and he tells the story about the vineyard. This is an ongoing conversation with a bunch of people who were very much opposed to Jesus. If you look at the end of Mark chapter 11. They came again to Jerusalem as he was walking in the temple. The chief priests, scribes, and elders came and asked him, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority to do these things? And Jesus said to them, I will ask you one question. Then answer me and I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. Was John's baptism from heaven or of human origin? Answer me. And because they were afraid to give an answer, they answered, verse 33, we don't know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. He began to speak to them in parables. This comes right on the heels of that. And that, therefore, verse 12, they were looking for a way to arrest him, but feared the crowd because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. Them, who's them? Well, it's these same elders, scribes, Pharisees, the top dogs in the religious establishment. They knew he had spoken this against them. Jesus had just told a story that beautifully described in brief fashion the history of Israel's response to God's messengers. One after another, they were persecuted. Say, oh no, we honor them. Well, yeah, Jesus said, you honor them by building tombs for them after you kill them. You honor them after they're dead. But while they're living, you hate the word of God. Over and over, generation after generation, you resist God's truth. I want to ask you a question. What is your response to God's word? What is your response to truth? Do you embrace it? Do you realize that sometimes God will change your circumstances around in order to deal with some things in your life? My wife was reading me a devotional this morning written by one of the Puritans in which he talked about how God uses pain and suffering to cause us to long for heaven. That is an absolutely biblical truth. Okay? God does things in order to accomplish good for us. We should be longing for heaven. And when everything here is going hunky-dory, we don't tend to long for heaven. Well, Jesus tells this story about the vineyard owner. And he says that the vineyard owner finally sent his son. And they killed him. They killed him. And the way Jesus tells the story, he makes it clear that the people who kill him are very, very foolish. And I'm being kind in the way I describe that. Because what was their motivation? They said, let's kill him and the inheritance will be ours. Really? I mean, you really think that's the way this is going to turn out? You think you can kill the heir and the owner's going to say, oh, okay, I guess I'll just give it to you guys. Is that really the way this goes? Jesus says, no. The people who did that to the son are going to be killed. The owner will destroy them. Jesus is pronouncing judgment on his enemies in this. Because he knows what's coming. Folks, do you have a clue about what's coming? Do you understand that when Jesus comes again, it's not going to be time to suddenly get serious about God? When Jesus comes again, you're either in or you're out. You're either his child or you're destroyed. Well, what about those who've never heard? The problem isn't just that they need to hear, and they do need to hear. But the problem is that the universal response, not just of most people, but of all unregenerate people everywhere throughout history, the universal response of all people everywhere is to prefer the darkness. I'd rather not know. Please don't tell me. I don't want to hear about it. Have you ever been at a point in your life where you didn't want to get on the scale? Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't want to go see the doctor? Well, let me tell you something. Whether you want to know the truth or not, I'm going to tell you the truth. Jesus is coming. You need to get ready. Jesus is coming. And if you are trusting in Him, if you are devoted to Him, you're going to be so glad on that day. But if you have said, I'll deal with that later, I don't want to think about that right now. Don't bother me with this. I maybe some other time. Unless you turn in repentant faith, you will be destroyed.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, then they sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to Jesus. Look at the next phrase. Remember the title of the message this morning? Why do you ask? They sent some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to Jesus to trap him in his words. That was the motivation. So they're going to go, they're going to ask him a question, and their whole purpose is to see if they can trap him, to see if they can come up with a basis for his arrest, to see if they can come up with a reason why they can turn people against him. When they came, they said to him, Teacher, we know you are truthful and don't care what anyone thinks, nor do you show partiality, but teach the way of God truthfully. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? What are they saying? We know you teach the way of God truthfully. Well, then why don't they honor him? Why don't they obey him? Why don't they follow him? Because they're totally lying. And all their kind words are a ploy to try and get Jesus to lower his guard. And Jesus, of course, who so desperately wanted to be liked, fell for it. Right? No. No. Knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, Why are you testing me? Jesus sees right through it. He's not fooled. God says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. How is it with you today? So knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, bring me a denarius to look at it. So they brought him a coin. Now, they were shocked because they had no idea where Jesus was going. But Jesus is going to ask them a question. And again, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. Jesus takes the coin and he looks at it and then he asks them a question. He says, whose picture is this? You think it's because he was ignorant? No, he wanted them to say it. Whose picture is this? Caesar's. And he says, then give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar's, but give to God what belongs to God. I love Jesus. I love him. He's magnificent. But they're not quitting. The Sadducees, they were the scholars, and they didn't believe the Bible. They did not believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. They didn't believe in miracles. They just didn't believe. They were a bunch of theological liberals. So the Sadducees came and they had their favorite stump question. Okay? They weren't looking for information. They weren't looking for truth. They weren't trying to understand something difficult. They were trying to trip Jesus up. And Jesus didn't stumble even a little. Jesus said, in the resurrection, there's not going to be marriage. Marriage, as wonderful as it is, as important as it is an earthly thing. And in the resurrection, you're not going to marry or be given in marriage. Now, for some people, that's a disappointment. You mean in heaven, I won't get to be married to this wonderful person. And for other people, it's a huge relief. But whether you like it or you don't like it, Jesus says, there's no marriage in heaven. Okay? And by the way, people in heaven are not going to be going around bummed out. Well, you know, it's a pretty nice place. I mean, you know, the streets are gold and everything, but I really wish we could get married. No. You'll be married. You're the bride of Christ. If you're in Christ, you're His. Okay? And your total devotion will be to Him. You're not going to be missing a thing about earth. Oh, remember burgers? Nobody's going to be in heaven missing the nice things on earth. But Jesus says, but by the way, Sadducees, the resurrection's real. Whether you believe in it or not, your not believing in it is simply a display of ignorance. That's what Jesus said to them. He said, you err because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. Your problem, scholars, trained theologians who don't believe, your problem is you're ignorant. Now that's a slam to a person who prides themselves on their scholarship, okay? People who think they're too smart, too intellectual, too well-educated, too sophisticated to be Christian are clueless. Clueless. And that was the problem with the Sadducees. So Jesus blows them away and tells them, your problem is you're ignorant. You don't know what you're talking about. So, one of the listeners approached Jesus. One of the scribes was impressed with Jesus' answer. He thought Jesus did a good job. The arrogance! God is standing there and this guy's saying, oh, that was a good answer. I wonder what he'll say to my question. And so he asked Jesus a question. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, let me think on that and I'll get back to you. No. Jesus spoke the commandments. Jesus lived the commandments. And so Jesus tells him, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Every good Jew was to say that every day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And Jesus said, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is like unto it. You're to love your neighbor as you love yourself. This guy responds to Jesus by saying, you're exactly right. That is right. That is the most important thing. He still thinks he's giving Jesus a grade. But guess who's on trial? It's not Jesus. It's this man. And Jesus, in his mercy, knowing that this guy has just tested him, Jesus saw that he answered wisely and said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. At that point, Jesus just a little bit disclosed himself as the teacher. The man who thought that he was asking a question to test Jesus was actually on trial. And one day, those who thought that they were testing and deciding are going to discover we are the ones who have been tested. We are the ones who desperately, desperately need a Savior. Please, while you have the opportunity, cry out to Him for mercy. Receive His salvation. Do not think that God is the one on trial.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
www.wearesvalleyranch.org.